the Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dominic, the 4 o'clock Wednesday, happy hour, it rolls on. I think we've been joined by a fine guest. He's Harvey K. Professor, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, man, are you there? Can you hear us now?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, man, but hey, I can't see your shining face, Harvey. It made me a little nervous.
Why is that?
I don't know, man. I don't understand the tech either. We're a radio product, Harvey. You look very sexy on the radio right now.
Well, I don't see below the opportunity to hit video.
Don't even worry about it, man. We're rolling now.
So, okay, it's just that all those folks out there on Twitter, if they're watching by way of that device, we're doing them out of my smiling face.
Well, Harvey, perhaps I can keep that smile on your face. New polling out, Rasmussen. Joe Biden should be impeached, say 30 to 40% of Democrats, according to Rasmussen polling. Now, I'm a little skeptical, Harvey, but we started the day talking about this and wanted to get your opinion. We know that the polling is down, and we know that the right track, wrong track is way off for Joe Biden, predicated perhaps on the handling of Afghanistan. But Harvey, how bad do you think it is for President Joe Biden?
Okay, well, I've had this debate actually with a couple of my friends where I said I was really worried that this might continue up into the fall. But they've been arguing against me, and I'm going to defer to them when they tell me that as soon as Labor Day comes and goes and we get into the serious business, and I say this with, you know, somewhat sarcastic, when we get into the business of the real football season, everything will change again. But more seriously, I think that when Rasmussen issues a poll that tells us, what was it, 60% of Americans were prepared to see Trump, you know, displaced. Is that what
Biden,
the results were?
Biden.
Sorry. I mean, that shows you how unbelievable I find it that would be the case. Because surely when it was Trump, I think the percentages would have been much higher. No, I don't buy this for a moment. I think clearly Biden has got some serious work to do. But I think that the sooner that he's able to get the corporate Dems in the House and the likes of Manchin, Sinema, and Coons in the Senate in line to get this infrastructure project enacted by way of both the bipartisan bill that came through already, but's waiting for further action in tandem with the $3.5 trillion bill, the better off we'll all be. And I think public opinion will move back towards embracing this administration.
Harvey, the only one I see out there selling infrastructure in the current sense is Bernie Sanders. The senator from Vermont has apparently been putting on some Iowa and some Indiana-based rallies in support of this very big proposal. And I would question, Harvey, is that his role? Could the vice president, could Kamala be playing a role in being out there promoting the domestic agenda?
Yeah, you know, this is something I have been trying to deal with. And that is because I recall FDR, who we've spoken of before when I've been on. And when FDR wanted to make things happen, he made it clear to his cabinet to get out there and promote it, to go out and talk to everything from community groups to groups of legislators, make it happen. Now, I don't know to what extent Biden's initiative in that regard, you know, I don't know if he's given the orders to go out at all right now, maybe because he is, you know, clearly caught up in the question of Afghanistan, the security, making sure Americans have been removed and will still be removed from Afghanistan. But I do think that as soon as this weekend passes, Bernie cannot be the only one out there. I think members of the House need to get out there. I think members of the Senate need to get out there. I think Biden himself needs to not necessarily show up with Bernie, but I think he needs to make it a serious point of promoting it. I'd even go so far as to say this. I think, as you've heard me say before, that we're in the middle of a crisis comparable to the 1770s, the 1860s, and the 1930s and 1940s. Therefore, I think it actually behooves Biden to make some kind of national address about the imperative of infrastructure. Look, the civil engineers in this country have for years pointed out that our infrastructure probably deserves at best a D+ rating, that we are desperately in need of improving the infrastructure. At the same time, we know damn well that the gross inequalities that have emerged over these last 45 years due to the way in which conservatives, corporate bosses, and neoliberals have gone out of their way to turn their backs on the FDR tradition, in a sense, license inequality, and a good part of that $3.5 trillion bill will begin to address that. But here's another thing, which is even more crucial. When we talk, the Rasmussen poll is obviously wrong. It's BS, okay? But it is the case that the division in this country is severe, probably more severe than it has been perhaps since the days leading up to the Civil War. That's how ugly it has gotten. And the imperative of infrastructure, I say this seriously, is not simply because we have to address the physical infrastructure, or for that matter, specifically address the social infrastructure, which we desperately need to do. It's also the fact that if we can get people engaged in these kinds of projects, seriously engaged together, that they may once again discover what it means to build America. And I don't mean that as in the build back better. That's a great, slogan he can promote all he wants. I mean, building solidarities among Americans to transcend the divides wrought by 45 years of class war from above and Trump.
Now, Harvey, my understanding, a big part of the $3.5 trillion infrastructure proposal that Bernie's out promoting and the Biden administration obviously advocates for is the Green New Deal, or at least, parts of the Green New Deal. Harvey, do you think some of the extreme weather we're currently seeing on the West Coast, obviously we had another hurricane that made the mainland one of the strongest hurricanes, my understanding, to ever hit the American mainland. Harvey, do you think people see any urgency, not just to pass infrastructure reform, but to advance the Green New Deal and perhaps start fighting the climate change?
Look, I think polls show Americans are concerned and worried about it, but I think it's hard for Americans to envision what they can do besides hope and pressure. I mean, maybe it will require turning out in the streets in favor of rescuing the planet. But it really is the case that it's up to, look, the United States may well have just suffered a defeat and a setback in Central Asia, but it remains the case that the world is still looking to the United States for leadership on critical questions and critical matters, stuff that you can never expect to see coming out of Russia or China. And I know that sounds terribly, patriotic, but it's not nationalistic. What I'm saying is, look, our responsibility extends far beyond whatever the military has been telling itself for all these decades. It does extend to trying to make American lives and the lives of other people around the world safer. Look, I don't know if Americans appreciate this whole question of terror could also be linked in some ways to climate changes underway in Africa and in Asia and in other ways. And I won't get into the details because I'm not on top of it this second. But it is the case that this climate question, in a certain fashion, transcends everything else. And yeah, I do think if people don't realize, look, here in Wisconsin, you know damn well what we've suffered. We've actually had hazy skies for any number of days as a consequence, not even of the fires in California, the fires in the Northwest or in Colorado. And just imagine the kinds of fire. Look, we've only begun the California fire season. The hurricane in the Gulf, we've only begun the hurricane season. I mean, I can't look, Wisconsin weather hasn't been normal for some time. I can tell you that.
Folks, you're listening.
I see our comrades laughing, and I mean it. I'm sure you understand.
Yes, we're listening to Harvey Kay. He's the professor of Democracy and Justice Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, it's great to talk to you again. Wanted to circle back a little bit on the war in Afghanistan and the speech that the president gave in really pushing back and changing course on the concept of nation building. Harvey, did you see that speech? Did you hear it? And what were your thoughts specifically on nation building and the speech overall?
Okay, well, I'll start by saying I will confess I did not actually see it live.
Okay.
But in preparation for our conversation, shows you how I do my homework.
Nice.
I ran off from the whitehouse.gov website, the entire speech, read it through and made some notes. And I've been a longtime critic of Biden, although I can tell you very clearly, I have been thrilled by Bernie's role in pulling Biden, I should say, to the left. And I think that Biden is making it clear that we've been at war for too long, and he's going to look for alternative ways to assert some kind of, if you like, an American example in the world. We can, you know, hope that it's not going to involve too many drone killings. Okay, let's be clear. He hinted at that being our alternative, which we've done pretty, you know, nastily these many years since Obama. But I do think we do need a shift. I mean, this term nation building, I don't think people realize that they use nation building so many times, probably going back to Vietnam. It's time that it's long past time that we think about the United States in terms of nation building. If you think about it, when I was reading the speech, what did he report? $1 trillion, right? $1 trillion. Well, we just had a struggle to get a $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill passed. I think the time is to actually push that $3.5 trillion bill through. It'll all come back to us. I mean, I don't think people realize that when you invest in the nation, it comes back to you over and over again.
Harvey, I've heard $1 to $2 trillion, so that's anywhere from $150 million to $300 million a day, every day for the last 20 years. So it's difficult for me to really take the Republicans' sense seriously on this money when we've been in there for 19 years, longer than we should have been, with no specific mission, other as far as I can tell, other than to keep the cash flowing.
So can we reallocate
those funds? Do you have any sense that the Defense Department is going to be reduced in funds? And in fact, I saw Biden is actually looking for an increase in Defense Department funds.
Yeah. Do you remember the term peace dividend?
Yeah. When do we get
this is a tragic comic laugh I'm making right now. Okay. I keep thinking we haven't heard the term peace dividend this time, but it'd be wonderful to imagine a peace dividend. You know, by the way, you brought up the Republicans. The Republicans are absolutely disgusting. You know that they put us in under the Trump administration, they gave the rich and the powerful and the capitalists a huge, $1 trillion tax break then? Okay. Now think about it. Back in Bush's day, not only do we end up going to war in Afghanistan, let's not forget who took us into war in Afghanistan. He also had the audacity, Bush the second, to push through a huge tax break for the rich then, and yet continue to sort of ramp up the expenditures in Afghanistan. So let's not forget that. And then let's not forget as well, you know, and I this is to Biden's credit, for whatever reservations we might have about the details ahead. The fact is that he had the courage to say it's time to get out. There was no denying the tragedy that was entailed.
Yeah, no doubt. And regardless of that, I concur. Four presidents in this war is long enough, especially without any, you know, defining victory or success. As far as now looking forward, and as mentioned, you know, getting out of the summer, getting into the football season, turning the page, perhaps, you know, Biden still has to bring in those people, Manchin, as you mentioned, some other, you know, centrist type Democrats, conservative Democrats. Harvey, how do you think that's going to go? Do you think he's going to be able to pull that together?
Well, I can't help but imagine that Manchin and Sinema want those dollars from the infrastructure bill as much as anyone else. But you made a good point before, and that is to what extent those two folks, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we're listening, Harvey.
Okay. The question is to what extent Manchin, Sinema, and the corporate Dems like Chris Coons are going to try to reduce the degree to which taxes will be, you know, levied on the rich and on capital. That's one. And two, to what extent these conservative type Democrats are willing to continue to embrace the idea of a climate bill included inside of the infrastructure.
Professor Harvey Kay, he's the sexiest guest in talk radio. Harvey, appreciate you coming around on short notice, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Don't ever hesitate to call. If I'm free, you got me.
Right on. Thank you,
Harvey. Excellent,
Harvey.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Come back, Devil's Advocates. You can call right now. 844-967-2789. Do not hesitate to call.
Take it easy. I'm Satan reincarnated.
So, dude, not the preferred nomenclature.
The devil!